This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After that, we move on to the next hadith and our next parable. And this hadith is narrated by Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, as well as Ibn Hibban in his Sahih. It is narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لكل إنسان ثلاثة أخلاء أما خليل فيقول ما أنفقت فلك وما أمسكت فليس لك وذلك ماله وأما خليل فيقول أنا معك فإذا أتيت باب الملك تركتك ورجعت فذاك أهله وحشمه وأما خليل فيقول أنا معك حيث دخلت وحيث خرجت فذاك عمله فيقول إن كنت لأهون الثلاثة علي. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, every person has three companions. As for the first companion, he says, and this is at the time of death, he says, whatever you have spent, it is for you. And whatever you have withheld from spending, then it is not for you. And that is his wealth. That is his wealth. As for another companion, he says, I am with you. But when you arrive at the door of the king, I leave you and I return. So that is his family and his relatives. As for the other companion, he says, I am with you where you are entering into and from where you will come out from. So that is his deeds. So he will say, you were the most insignificant to me of these three. And so this hadith, first of all, it has been narrated through several different wordings and several different versions by different companions, it has been narrated. And the scholars differed concerning its authenticity. But perhaps with the multiple different narrations, it can be elevated to the level of Hasan, as graded by Ibn Hajar. Or it could be elevated to the level of Sahih, as was considered by Al-Hakim and Ibn Hibban. And so they considered this hadith to be authentic. Now, in other narrations of this hadith, the hadith starts off by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, the example of man and the example of death is like a man who has three companions. So in that wording of the hadith, we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is comparing three things. And these three things are our wealth, our family, and our deeds. He is comparing them to three friends that we have in our lives. And what these three things will do at the time of death. What they will do at the time of death. And so the point the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making through this parable was how these three things, they accompany us in this life. Just like three friends that we have, that we cherish their company. And so the first is your wealth. It was with you throughout your life. You earned it you worked hard for it, and then you either spent it in what would benefit you with regards to your akhirah, or you withheld and did not spend it in sadaqah, in zakah, etc. So at the time of death, it will part from you. And it will say, what you have spent is for you, and what you have withheld from spending, it is not for you. Meaning, whatever you have spent, it is for you, you will benefit from it in the akhirah. Whatever you withheld from spending, it is not for you, it is of no benefit for you. Or whatever you spent in that which won't bring you any benefit in the akhirah. Either you spent it in haram, then it will be against you, or you spent it in that which was halal, but you only did it for the dunya, and so you won't get anything of it in the akhirah. So this wealth that you worked so hard for in the dunya, it will remain behind in this world. You will part from it, and it will part from you. You possessed it in this life. You cherished it. You thought, this is mine. And you were so attached to it. But at the time of death, will it benefit you? No. It won't enter with you in your grave, but rather, it will remain back in the dunya. In fact, it will be transferred over to others, your inheritors. And none of it will go with you into your grave. The second companion is your family and your close of kin. They are the ones who would bring you comfort, would bring you love in this world. They would be there with you in your thick and your thin, serving you, taking care of you, being there with you at the time of need. So when it's time for you to leave this world, they will prepare your burial. And they will wash you, and they will shroud you, and then they'll pray your janazah. And they will also follow you to your grave. But then, once they have lowered you into your grave and buried you, they will say, as mentioned in this hadith, I am with you, meaning in this dunya, I am with you all the way until this point. But then when you arrive at the door of the king, I leave you and I return back to the dunya. Meaning, once you have arrived at the door that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the king, that's it. This is where I say goodbye. And so although your family, they will still remember you and be attached to you for some time after your death, eventually they too will move on, just like your wealth. And they too, eventually they'll forget you. And their time will come as well. Their time to leave the dunya will come as well. And so these are the first two companions. The third is our deeds, both good and bad. And so it is our deeds that we plant in the ground today to harvest tomorrow in the akhirah. They were with us in this life from the moment we reached the age of responsibility, the age of puberty, where every single thing that we did, no matter how small it was, no matter how big it was being written, it was being recorded, until the very last breath that we take. And so our deeds, unlike the first two, they will not remain behind in the dunya, but rather they will follow us to our grave, and they are the only thing that will enter with us into our graves. and they will accompany us when we are resurrected, when we come out from our graves, as mentioned in this hadith. What do the deeds say? They say, I am with you where you are entering, meaning your grave, and from where you will come out, meaning when you are resurrected on the Day of Judgment, I will accompany you until you reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is our deeds that we did not really care much about. It is our deeds that we did not really pay attention to, we did not take seriously. And so this is why he will say, at the very end of the hadith, what does it say? It says, the person says to the deeds, he says, you were the most insignificant of the three. I looked at you as being the most insignificant. And so the example of these three things, our wealth, our family, and our deeds. A beautiful example of how they will benefit us in the Akhirah, or how our deeds will benefit us in the Akhirah and the other two will not. Our wealth and our family will not benefit us. Is the example of a governor who is appointed by a king over a certain land to govern. And so after a year, the king, he calls the governor to check up on him, to see what he's been doing, to bring him to account. So this governor, he happens to have many friends. He has many contacts. And he could take with him those who may be able to benefit him and help him when he is before the king. But there are only three of his companions who he cherishes, who he looks at as being valuable. And so the first is his wealth. He looks at his wealth when he's about to leave home on this journey to the king. And he thinks to himself, I can't really take you with me. You're going to have to stay here, and I'm going to have to go. And so he leaves his wealth at home. And then, when he reaches his car, and he sits in his car, and he's ready to take this journey to the king, his family accompany him to the car, but he's like, I can't really take you with me. The king won't accept that. And so he bids them farewell. They don't enter with him in the car. But what does he take with him? He takes with him his deeds. Whatever he did, he takes with him. And so when he reaches before the king and he's there before him, if he had good deeds, then these good deeds will testify for him. They will testify for him. They will defend him. And they will be there for him at his time of need. Whereas his bad deeds, if he had bad deeds, then they will testify against him. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ told us about our deeds. That they will testify for us on the Day of Judgment. And so, for example, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned how if we fasted, that fast will come on the Day of Judgment before Allah to intercede on our behalf. And that fasting will say, O Allah, I prevented him from satisfying his hunger and his thirst and his sexual desires for your sake. So let me be of benefit to him. And likewise, other good deeds will testify on our behalf. And so this shows us the importance of our deeds as compared to our wealth and our children. Now, there's another hadith that's more well-known and famous than this hadith, and that is the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim concerning these three things. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتِ ثَلَاثَ فَيَرْجِعُ إِثْنَانِ وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ وَاحِدٌ. That three things follow the dead person to his grave. Two of these go back, return back to the dunya, and only one remains with him. يَتْبَعُهُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. His family, his wealth, and his deeds follow him. فَيَرْجِعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى عَمَلُهُ. And so his family and his wealth, they return back to the dunya, whereas his deeds remain with him. And so our deeds will accompany us to our graves. All of these three things will accompany us to our graves. Our wealth, our family, and our deeds. Now, some may be wondering, we can understand our family and our deeds accompanying us, but how about our wealth? How does our wealth come with us all the way to our grave? The scholars say what that means is, for example, a wealthy person who had slaves and other people under his authority, they will come with him as well. Other scholars, they said, what it means is that a lot of people will follow him to his grave because he was wealthy, hoping that they'll get a share of his wealth when it is divided among the inheritors. So either way, his wealth does accompany him to his grave. But the only thing that enters with him into his grave and remains with him is his deeds, as mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ in another hadith, describing how the deeds, you will see them when you are buried in your grave. And that is in the long hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu an, when he mentioned what happens on the first night when we are in our grave. And so in that hadith, he mentioned a lot of things. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned many things that happen once we are buried in our grave, how the two angels come and ask us the three questions. And also among the things he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَأْتِيهِ رَجُلٌ حَسَنُ الْوَجْهِ حَسَنُ الثِّيَابِ حَسَنُ الرِّيحِ. And a man will come. When he's in his grave, a man will come. This is for the believer. A man will come and appear before him. He has a very beautiful face. He has very beautiful clothing. And he has a very beautiful smell. فَيَقُولُ أَبْشِرْ بِالَّذِي يَسُرُّكَ. This man will say to the believer, have good tidings, have glad tidings of that which will make you happy. And so he will say, فَيَقُولُ مَنْ أَنْتَ. He will say, who are you? فَيَقُولُ أَنَا عَمَلُكَ الصَّالِحِ. He will say, I am your good deeds. He will say, I am your good deeds. And so this shows us how our deeds will accompany us and be with us in our graves. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the opposite with regards to the disbeliever. He will see a very evil and ugly person, and a very foul smell will be coming from him, and he will say, I am giving you news of that which will grieve you and disappoint you. And so he says, who are you? And so he says, I am your bad deeds. I am your bad deeds. And so all of this shows us that our deeds will accompany us to our graves, to remain there with us, as opposed to our wealth and our family. Among the lessons that we learn from this hadith is, first of all, the importance of setting our priorities straight in this life. And so we need to understand and constantly remind ourselves that we are not here to enjoy ourselves and live forever. So we shouldn't make our priority wealth and the dunya, but rather our deeds and what have we put forward for tomorrow. And so invest in your akhirah from today through good deeds, not through wealth. Don't chase after wealth and then invest it in something that will remain behind in this dunya. But rather invest in your akhirah by putting forward good deeds. Plant the seeds of good deeds in this dunya to harvest the fruit in the akhirah. The second thing that we learn from this hadith is that most of what distracts us in this dunya are our wealth and our family. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ specifically mentioned these two things, even though he could have mentioned many other things of the dunya. But he mentioned specifically these two things, our wealth and our family. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran warned us of these two things and how they distract us. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an dhikrillah. O you who believe, do not allow yourselves to become distracted by your wealth and your children. What did Allah mention here? These two things. Your wealth and your children. Don't let these two things distract you from the remembrance of Allah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ Whoever does that, then he will be among the losers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ Your wealth and your children are a fitna. Allah only mentions these two things. Your wealth and your children are a fitna. And with Allah is the best reward, the greatest reward. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the Bedouins in Surah Al-Fath, after the conquest of Mecca, those who recently embraced Islam, and they were not ready to go out and fight in jihad. And so they started putting forward excuses. And so one of the things they said is, شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُونَا فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا They said to the Prophet ﷺ, our wealth and our families busied us. We became preoccupied and busy with our wealth and our families. So, ask Allah to forgive us. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, concerning what will benefit us on the Day of Judgment and what will not benefit us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ On the Day of Judgment, on the day in which no wealth nor children will benefit a person. Again, only these two things are mentioned. No wealth nor any children will benefit a person. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ Except the one who comes to Allah with a pure and a clean heart. And this could also be why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned these two things. Could also be because the kuffar, they were deceived and they thought, you know, these things will benefit us before Allah on the Day of Judgment. And so we will sacrifice ourselves with our wealth, or our families and our children will benefit us and save us from punishment. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted this by mentioning these examples. And we have other examples throughout the Quran where, you know, our families will not be of any benefit to us on the Day of Judgment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this can be the next lesson that we can learn from this hadith, and that is that although our family will be present on the Day of Judgment, they will not be able to benefit us. They will be of no use to us. So even if in our family there were righteous individuals, they will not benefit us on the Day of Judgment. And so if the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam could not benefit his father before Allah, then how about the rest of us? If Nuh alayhi salam could not benefit his son before Allah, and he is destined for the hellfire, then how about the rest of us? If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being the best of creation and the most beloved to Allah, will not be able to benefit his uncle Abu Talib, who stood up for him and who defended him and who he wished could have accepted Islam, if he will not be able to benefit him on the Day of Judgment, then how about others? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, on the day in which man will flee from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and from his mother and from his father, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, and from his spouse, his wife, and from his children. Those closest to us in this dunya, we will be running away from them. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Why? Because each one of them on that day will be so worried about themselves to bother about others. No one will be caring about others. They'll be only worried about themselves. How can I save myself on this day? Finally, among the lessons that we learned from this hadith is that what we leave behind, whatever we leave behind of wealth and family, yes, they will not enter us, they will not enter with us in our graves. But when they return to the dunya, they could be of benefit to us while we are in our graves. How? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ انْقَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَ, that when a person dies, this is when his deeds come to an end. They cut off. He cannot put forward a single deed after this, when he dies. Whatever he's done, he's done in the dunya. And he cannot do any more good deeds at this time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, except for three things. So his deeds come to an end except for three things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, illa min sadaqatin jariyah aw ilmin yuntafa'u bih aw waladun salihu yad'u lah. Except three things: a sadaqa jariyah, which is an ongoing charity. He left behind a charity that continued benefiting people, so the reward goes to him in his grave. Or a knowledge that he left behind that is benefiting people after his death. Or a righteous child that he leaves behind that prays for him after his death. So wealth can benefit you and your family, your children that pray for you, because you left them upon righteousness, they will now be of benefit to you. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those who our concern, our main concern, our priority in this dunya is nothing but our deeds, and to grant us pure hearts and to make us do deeds that are pleasing to Him and that are sincerely for His sake. With that, we come to the end of tonight's session. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلي اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.